think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Our brains are far stranger than we think. How would we change if our abilities were dramatically enhanced or disappeared overnight? Well, the award-winning science writer Helen Thomson spent years traveling the world tracking down incredibly rare brain disorders. And in her brilliant book, Unthinkable, she tells the story of nine extraordinary people. It's fascinating. Helen, good morning. Thank you. Welcome to the show.
Morning. Thanks.
Whoa, this really is interesting. So where did you find these nine? How did you whittle it down?
So as a science journalist, I had often written about the brain. I had a background in neuroscience, and I would come across these scientific papers mentioning strange medical case studies of people who had strange brains. And over about 10 years, I had kind of got a collection of these papers that mentioned these people, but very objectively, they were all anonymized. And you didn't really find out much about their lives, just about the brain itself. And so I thought, what are their lives like? And could I find out who these people are and go and meet them and find out about what your life is like when you live with an extraordinary brain.
Wow. So you did meet them. You travelled all over the place and you went to talk to all nine of them, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So I sort of spent 2 years travelling around the world meeting up with nine people with the world's sort of most extraordinary brain disorders. So they included a man who never forgets a day of his life. He remembers every day as if it was yesterday. A woman who is permanently lost. So she, even between her own bathroom and kitchen, a man who thinks he can turn into a tiger, a doctor who experiences other people's pain as if it's happening to his own body. So there were all sorts of weird and wonderful brain conditions.
Absolutely amazing. Let's talk about some of these in more detail. Probably the weirdest one was Matar, who is the guy who believes he's a tiger. Now, you met him, I believe, in hospital, and that was quite an odd meeting.
Yeah, so throughout the book, I was trying to meet people who were well, but, you know, who lived with a brain condition that was very strange. But in Matar's case, he was well. He asked to meet at the hospital because that was a sort of a known location for both of us. Mm-hmm. He took himself to the hospital by himself, but unbeknown to me and his doctors, he'd actually stopped taking the medication that was making him well. And so his condition is called lycanthropy. It's a side effect of a very rare side effect of schizophrenia, whereby a person believes they can turn into an animal. And he'd had it under control for about 3 years before I met him. And as I say, he'd come to the hospital to have to meet me and to talk about his condition. And he was happy to do so, but had, for various reasons, stopped taking his medication a few days beforehand. And so During the interview, he actually started to have a relapse in which he actually started again to feel like he was turning into a tiger.
My goodness. And that manifested itself with him saying, "You feel like a lion to me. I want to attack you before you attack me."
Yeah, so part of the delusion is seeing your body as a turning into an animal and actually feeling that you are turning into an animal, but also that you start hallucinating that there are animalistic aspects of your environment as well. So he was thinking that I had turned into a lion and was going to attack him, and so he wanted to attack me before that could happen. And you could really tell that he was having this kind of internal battle with himself, whereby he was trying to stay calm and rational, but was feeling these overwhelming feelings of turning into this tiger and wanting to attack.
How bizarre. Now, some of them would have had a trigger. There's one, a guy called Graham, who had something called Cotard syndrome, and that happened after he suffered an electric shock. Did all of them have triggers, or were a lot of them like what they are from birth?
No, there's about half and half. Some had, so one person had a stroke and had a personality change. Some people developed the condition over time, and some were born with it and never even actually realized they had a strange brain until they were adults in some cases. So, for instance, a woman called Sharon who's permanently lost, she can't form a mental map in her mind, and she actually discovered she had this when she was 5. Unfortunately, her story is very interesting because she actually told her mum about this problem, that she was permanently lost and couldn't find her way around, even between her own bathroom and bedroom. And her mum actually told her to never tell anybody about this because they'd think she was a witch and they'd burn her. And so, having been told this at 5 years old, she was obviously very worried about ever revealing it again, and actually didn't until she was about 30. And so her story is about how actually you can some people have to hide their strange brains. So, in cases, lots of people have developed it. Some people have hidden it. Some people have known about it from birth and sort of celebrated it. So there's all sorts of different ways in which they've ended up with these extraordinary conditions.
You talk about one who remembers everything. I interviewed an eminent guy from the Center of Neurobiology in America, and he's called James McGough, and he was talking about something called HSAM, which is Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory. And that sounds like a very similar thing, where they remembered everything and could say exactly what they were doing on every day.
Yes, so that's what Bob has. Actually, it was James McGough that put me in touch with Bob. He was my original sort of contact there. He's the person who sort of had first realized that people could have this condition.
Yes.
Bob was one of his was one of the first patients of his. And so Bob, yes, he's a producer over in LA, and he can remember every day and everything that happened on that day to him, every emotion he felt, every attitude he had at the time.
Amazing.
What the weather was like, whether his clothes felt sticky on him because the weather was hot. You know, it's incredible detail.
Wow. Another one which I find extraordinary who you talk to is a guy called Joel. And Joel's occupation couldn't be more bizarre given what he has. He's a doctor. And tell us a little bit about Joel's brain.
So Joel's one of the most fascinating people in the book, I think. He is a neurologist himself. And he has something called mirror touch synesthesia, which means that his brain doesn't really understand the difference between the things that happen to other people and the things that happen to him. So while rationally he knows the difference, he actually experiences other people's pain and emotions as if they're happening to his own body. So, for instance, when he injects somebody in the spine with a needle, he will feel the sense of a needle going into his own spine. So it's actually something that all of us do to some extent. It's the way we empathize with people. So it's the reason we know that when somebody lifts up their right hand and waves it, that they might be saying hello. It's because in some sense our brain sort of reenacts that in our own that movement in our own brain, and so it allows us to understand the movement. But in Joel's brain, it just kind of does it too much, and actually that translates into feeling the movement on his own body.
Good God. Does he feel pain?
And yes, it is a sense of pain. So most of the time he can control it, and he says it's kind of like, he describes it as an echo of a pain. But sometimes it does actually fall into physical, real pain when things take him by surprise, that often happens. Mm-hmm. So he talks about a Tourette's clinic that he'd been... when I met him, he'd recently been taking a Tourette's clinic where people have tics. And there was one guy who was mashing his teeth together and hitting his face. And because it was something that was very random and spontaneous, Joel was actually feeling the same sensation of pain, hitting his teeth and grounding his teeth together every time he saw this guy with the tic do it. But it translates into all sorts of strange things, because obviously he sees people die, he sees people in a great deal of pain. And in some ways it's very hard for him to, because he's feeling all of their emotions and pain himself. But in other ways, it's actually really beneficial as a doctor to actually physically be able to put yourselves in other people's shoes and understand what they're feeling.
That's just very odd, isn't it? Because, of course, one of the first things the doctor will say, if you've got pain, is, well, tell me where it hurts and what kind of pain is it? For the doctor to go, actually, I know, because I'm feeling it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Weird. What did you discover about any link between all of these people, or was there no link? I mean, is it there by the grace of God go us, or what?
No, I think, well, there's two things, really. The thing I found was that by understanding and through the scientists and researchers that are trying to understand these people's brains, they're actually learning a lot about our own, you know, so-called normal brain. For instance, so Sharon, who's permanently lost, they've discovered what areas of the brain are responsible for our ability to navigate and found tricks that we can use to navigate better ourselves. So they found that there was a part of the brain that was... responsible for permanent landmarks, recognizing permanent landmarks. So, that's necessary in order to navigate. And so they learned that actually, if you're in a new place and you look at one really good way of finding your way back in a new area is to actually pick out permanent landmarks, and it will really help you form your cognitive map in order to find your way home. So there's all these, for every person that I met, there were the people who were trying to find out more about these conditions and why they occur were actually finding out ways in which we can all kind of improve our own brain. And so in some ways I found out that we were really different from each other and that we all have these extraordinary, you know, these very different brains. But in some ways, a lot of even the most extraordinary brains are really just an extreme version of our own brain. And actually we are all capable of these strange perceptions in some respect. And these people just lie at one extreme of the scale.
Some of the people you talk about, and we say there's been triggers, that there's some of them, of course, suffer from some kind of accident. And we've heard many cases of people who have kind of woken up after something going wrong and they've been able to speak French, or they can suddenly play classical piano. You met a guy called Tommy who went from basically a hungry, desperate thug after a blood vessel burst in his brain. He was a completely different man afterwards.
Yeah, so Tommy was one of the first people I met. He had a... he was this criminal. He'd been in prison for various things. He was very angry. He took drugs, including heroin. He had been his wife had taken their children away from him various times for various issues of his anger. He wasn't a very nice person, and you know, in his own words, he was a bad un. Then he had this. He basically had two strokes, and when he woke up, it had damaged the part of his brain that's responsible for personality. And he woke up and he was this kind of emotional, giant monk kind of person who couldn't harm a fly, who had all these thoughts and feelings and emotions that he had never experienced before. And he just had a complete change in personality. And I had spoken to him across a few years, but actually when it came to meet him, unfortunately he'd passed away. So I went to meet his daughter and actually speak to her about what it was like to have a dad with, you know, who had experienced two different personalities.
Yeah. Well, and everybody I talk to, like yourself, who's kind of studied the brain, always say that we really know very, very little about it, don't we? But we are getting better at it all the time, I guess, Helen.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why it's such an interesting topic to write about, and because every week we're discovering more, and we don't know everything about the brain, and we keep discovering lots of extraordinary skills and talents that any of our brains can have, and how to make the most of our brains. So it's a really fascinating, fast-moving subject to study.
Well, when I first saw the description that you had found nine people with very weird brains, I thought you'd visited our office, actually, here, and just walked around taking notes. The book is brilliant. It's called Unthinkable, and you can get that on our own website, tre.radio. Save you looking around the internet for it. You can get it straight there. Helen Thompson, thank you so much. It's been very interesting to talk to you.
Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.